Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, these are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, the Word of God has a great deal to say to young men and to young women, and I'm certainly happy that such is true. There is no greater, more powerful example for righteousness than a young man or a young woman that is dedicated to the service of God. And let me point out what is well known by right-thinking people today. It isn't easy. Say, in our world of sin and immorality and every kind of ungodliness that is being exhibited today and made available to the hearts and minds of young people, it's not easy to follow the Lord. And in light of the association with our peers, it takes a great deal of courage to be a child of God, to live your life in harmony with the instruction contained in this book. For such is a spiritual way of life. And Satan, the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, has the minions who make light of those who would walk with the Master. So it takes a great deal of courage. And you know, it's a different kind of courage from the physical courage. We understand that. Many young men and young women are very courageous physically, and we appreciate that. But the courage that is required to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ is far greater than the physical courage that would, of course, confront the enemy in a physical way. So, young people, you're strong. That's what John said, isn't it? How is it that young people may overcome the evil one? Oh, the Word of God abideth in you. When we make up our minds that we're going to walk in harmony with the instruction contained in the blood seal covenant of the Son of God, we're able to overcome the evil one. There is no other source of power. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. That word power is from dunamis, the root word from whence we derive the term dynamite. It is the power that enables us to overcome Satan. Now I need to set my affections upon that which is spiritual in nature. He said there, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, John, are you saying the things that are in the world are of no value, should not be considered by me, I should have no interest? No. The things in this world are essential. But where do you place the emphasis? It's similar to the Lord's statement that it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, are you saying that if a man has money, he can't be a Christian? Why, certainly not. That's not what he's talking about. No. It's where you place your affections. It's just as we've often illustrated there in the Lord's statement in Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, verse 19, when he said, lay not up yourself treasured upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal. He's not saying that you shouldn't have a good job or even lay up money for a rainy day or pay for your place. All of these things are important, but they are important only in a material, immediate, limited way. Nothing here will endure. So what is the Lord saying? Well, he explains it, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Oh, and then verse 21, the significance of this comparison, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, so what the Lord is saying, the man whose heart is focused upon his material possessions, that is the principal interest of his life, no way that he can enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, but when we give our lives to the Lord and seek to live in harmony with the instruction in this book, oh, he supplies our needs every day. Isn't that what he said in that same context right there, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, Lord, will I gain the world? Will I be master of... No. You didn't bring that, and you won't take it, and you just need that portion which is essential to the maintenance of your health and your well-being in this world. The Lord said, I'll supply that. How does He do that? Well, let our people learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unprofitable. You understand that. We are to be diligent in our activities in this life. But remember, this life is temporary. It will only endure for a very brief period, and you must pass. And the world has an idea, well, yes, that's the end of it. Boy, death, it's all over. That's where it starts. You see, you're an immortal being. Physical death is the point where eternity sets in. And the scene of the judgment, you recall, what is it, Matthew 25, verse 46? The terminating statement, oh, these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Oh, how long am I going to live in this world? Oh, 100 years? Friend, not many people do. Some do, but many live a lot less. But that's not important in the first place. You're here for a very limited period of time. What did you say, John? Love not the world. No. Don't place your affections upon the things that are in the world. Because if indeed your attitude and your outlook is materialistic, if it's only physical, if you're governed only by the physical senses, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride or the vainglory of life. Friend, those things are limited. Those things have no spiritual value at all. Written to you young men because you're strong. The Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Interesting, isn't it? When you really think of the issues of life, it's just like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, what about verse 12? He said, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Well, now, Paul, how am I going to handle this? I'm a physical being in a physical world, and you're telling me that the wrestling, the battle, is not against material forces, physical advancement of the enemy. Right. But against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. How may I be, defended against that? Or how may I take the battle to the enemy? Oh, that's what he's explaining here. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Now listen. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Truth, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. I need to read, meditate upon the content of this blood-sealed covenant on a regular basis. Friends, many people just ignore the reading of the Bible. They think, well, that's just another book, and I've got other things to do and things that are more... Friend, this is living and active. Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I can personally guarantee you, if you'll read this book on a daily basis, a regular basis, it'll change your life. Change the entire philosophy by which your conduct is governed. Yes, sir. Having girded your loins with truth, or having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When we read and understand the truth of God, He loves us. He has provided through the death of His Son for my eternal spiritual well-being, and therein is provided for my material existence in this old world. In addition to that, it fills my heart with joy. You remember, of course, Philippians 4 at verse 7. Yes, sir. Peace that passeth understanding. It anchors my soul with hope. What is it? Hebrews chapter 6 about verses 18 and 19. Yes, sir. Oh, the world doesn't have this. Even in poverty, as the world may view your present physical arrangement, there's still peace, contentment, happiness, and joy, and the soul is anchored in hope. It is a marvelous thing to walk with the Lord. So when I understand the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, Psalms 119, verse 172. Let my lips sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Lord, help me to apply the principles that I glean from the study of thy word. That's it. Just simply make the honest, conscientious effort to live in harmony with the instruction that you receive from reading the word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now notice as he continues. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ah, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, today there's a great deal of division in the religious world. Oh, yes, even in the Lord's church. There's no question about that. And all of the division, condemned and corrected in the New Testament, was certainly in the Lord's church. There's no question about that because there were no denominations in existence at that point in time. So, yes, there are problems in the church. But these problems would be minimal. As a matter of fact, these problems would be non-existent if each member of the Lord's church would have his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, it's interesting, but we've said this many times, but when you know the truth, you can't be deceived. I say, man comes along teaching error. Friends, you know it immediately. Why? Because the will of God is a basic unit. It is a complete whole. There are no contradictions within the Bible. It simply teaches the truth, and every word is in harmony with every other word. When a man comes along teaching error, sticks out like a sore thumb, well, it doesn't work. He can't deceive those who know the truth. Our problem is we are not really laboring at what Paul is instructing us to do here, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You walk in the path of righteousness. You base your life upon a thus saith the Lord. You live in harmony with the good news of human redemption. That's the only way you can overcome the evil one. Oh, and he said also, take up the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. What is he saying? Friends, Satan has many devices. As we said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, he's declared to be the god of this world, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should not dawn upon them. He can't do that to you if you walk by faith, if you have the shield of faith. Now, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then my constant prayer to the Lord should be, help me, Father, in the study of thy word to put these principles into practice, and let them be the dominating factor in my life. Enable me to meditate thereupon day and night. Oh, then when Satan shoots his darts, I know truth from error. I understand the source of the instruction that I'm being subjected to. And I can distinguish between truth and error. Now, it isn't easy. No, sir. That takes effort. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Didn't John say that? 1 John 4 at verse 1? Yes, sir. Well, sometimes people say, look, I'm basically uneducated. I don't have a degree in this, that, or the other. And here's a fellow with a doctor's degree, maybe a couple of them from various, universities and seminars. But wait. What are you saying? You're looking at the world. You're thinking on an earthly basis. You have dropped your guard. You're no longer thinking in harmony with the Lord's will. Education in the affairs of this old world or even instruction by means of a religious background does not ensure or guarantee that this fellow is teaching the truth. How may I know that he's teaching? Oh, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. Oh, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Right. How do I know that which is good? Read it. Study God's word. Don't be misled by Satan's minions who would teach error. Be sure that you understand God's will. Well, but sometimes people say, that's very deceptive. That undermines, it can't undermine true faith. It cannot undermine a true knowledge of God's word. When you read this book and believe it, and you read it on a regular basis, and you understand that it is God's divine revelation, that's the basis of faith. Give me a book, chapter, and verse. Let me hear you quote the scripture that confirms, upholds, undergirds what you're saying. That's why nobility is proven through our examination of what men teach in light of what the Lord said. I say, don't you take my word. I'm human. I make mistakes. Man, my knowledge is very, very limited. You be sure that you check what you hear in light of God's divine revelation. Your immortal soul is at stake. Vitally important. Yes, sir. Taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench not some or most or many, but all of the fiery darts of the evil one. You see, God Almighty has assured salvation to those who want it. That's it. Now, it's easy to be partially spiritual and think sometimes in light of what God has said, but at the same time be more interested in my material attainments and achievements and recognition. And, hey, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But you can overcome the world. Why, certainly. Do you remember he said all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life? I mean, how do these things get to us? How is it that Genesis chapter 3, you remember God had placed Adam and Eve in beautiful Eden, in the midst of the garden, the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the reason for that is man's made in the image and the likeness of God. That is, he must make his own decisions. Whether you're going to heaven or eternal ruin in a place prepared for the devil and his angels, that's your decision. You must make that decision. But you remember, they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, verse 17. Old Satan said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. Said exactly the same thing God said. He just put a knot in it. Been doing it ever since. What did God say? Well, Mother Eve understood that perfectly. Of all the trees of the garden we may freely eat, but of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat thereof, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, just a minute. The record here says that when Mother Eve saw the fruit of this tree, that it was good for food, what? Good for food, lust of the flesh. That it was pleasant to the eye, lust of the eye. And it was desire to make one wise. Satan said, when you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let the pride of life. Vanity of life. Yes, sir. God has, got me under his thumb, and I don't like that, and I'm going to exert my own independence. I'm going to lose your soul. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are the only three avenues through which Satan may approach to lead you into sin. Now, there are 10,000 temptations in each of the avenues, but those are the only three basic avenues. What was John's instruction to me? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Lord, how can I overcome these three? Be spiritual. Loins girded with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil. And he said, take the helmet of salvation. Ah, the knowledge of my relationship with God. Make mistakes? Oh, sure. Yes, sir. We make mistakes. Yeah, indeed. We fall short. But you know the marvelous thing about the child of God? Once his old body of sin has been removed, well, and that takes place by faith when one is baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we understand that. The old body of sin is, then he's raised a new creation in Christ under the protective custody of the blood of Christ. 1 John 1 at verse 7. Well, indeed. Then there is assurance, yes. Make mistakes, yes, but I'm a child of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word isn't in us. That's the end of the chapter there in 1 John chapter 1. Oh, but the marvelous thing about it is, while I endeavor to walk with the Lord, that is, follow the instruction contained in the Word, then I am cleansed continually under the blood of His Son. Take the helmet of salvation. Oh, then listen. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6 at verse 17. The only offensive weapon used by the child of God is the written, revealed, all-sufficient, totally authoritative Word of God. He reaches out to the hearts of men with the sword of the Spirit, which cuts away sin that condemns and establishes righteousness through the love of God. There is no physical weaponry employed. As a matter of fact, Paul said, did he not? What is that? 2 Corinthians 10, maybe verse 4? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No. Oh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, bringing every thought and imagination into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. This is our offensive weapon. Yes, but you're not through because you're a sinner. You're in the flesh. You can't attain to perfection in the flesh so far as sinlessness is concerned. Oh, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It is through my continuing recognition of my total dependence upon my Heavenly Father that I'm able to overcome the evil one. Sure, I need to read this book. I need to put these principles into practice. It is wonderful. Having believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, made up my mind that I'm not going to walk any longer in sin and error, I have acknowledged that faith and been buried with the Lord in baptism, raised a new creation in Christ, to walk in newness of life. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. You know, that is a remarkable statement. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Young men, young women are strong. And young people, if you will devote your life to the accomplishment of the will of God, strength will be a marvelous manifestation in your conduct, in your speech, in your thought. And why? How could they be strong? Oh, because the Word of God abides in you. And it's only through the abiding of God's Word in the heart that we're able to overcome this whole negative world. Everything here is materialistic. Nothing here will endure. Only the truth will endure forever, and those who walk in harmony therewith will live with God forever. What a joyous anticipation. Young people, read God's Word, become strong, and overcome this whole world.